Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. That prayer might sound a little familiar to you. It's the collect for the first Sunday in Advent, which we just heard a few minutes ago at the beginning of the service. I repeated the prayer just now in place of my usual pre-sermon invocation because I think that the first day of the season of Advent is a really good moment in which to take a break from our customary pace and rhythm, an opportunity to slow things down a bit, spend some extra time paying focused attention to what's going on around us and within us. Let's take some time here at the beginning to talk about what Advent is, what it means, and how it's done. But we know what Advent is, I can hear you thinking. It's a season, obviously. That's why everybody keeps talking about the season of Advent. Do you always think so loudly, or is it just when I'm preaching? Yes, Advent is a season. And this is the lecture part of the sermon, so bear with me. It's part of the church's liturgical calendar, which divides the year into seasons based on the life of Jesus Christ. There are two cycles of seasons in the church year, the Christmas cycle, which begins today, first Sunday of Advent, which is also the beginning of the church year, by the way, so Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Thank you. There's also the Easter cycle, which starts on Ash Wednesday, which marks the beginning of the season of Lent. The church encourages and emphasizes the observance of these seasons by marking the seasonal changes with liturgical changes, different colors, for example, different liturgical practices, for example, different selections of music, different scriptural themes in the readings that are appointed for these Sundays of Advent. In doing so, the church isn't just trying to help you remember how many shopping days are left before Christmas, or how long you have to go giving up chocolate, or when to buy new Easter clothes for the kids. No, the point is that by immersing ourselves in these seasons, in these liturgical seasons, we place ourselves more deeply into the life of Jesus Christ. The seasonal colors, rich with symbolic meanings. If you have questions, just ask us. The passages of Scripture, full of vivid images. The special prayers that invite us to contemplate the ways in which Jesus' life collides with and intersects our own. All these things center us in Jesus. Over a lifetime, as a seminary professor of mine liked to say, cycling through these seasons leads us to be ever more deeply converted to Christ. It's worth noticing that both the Christmas cycle and the Easter cycle begin with seasons, Advent and Lent, respectively, that are marked by penitence, fasting, and prayers in preparation for encountering Christ. Now, we don't often think of Advent as having too much in common with Lent. And unfortunately, when folks in the church do make that connection, all too often Advent gets presented as sort of Lent light, one third less guilt. Both of these mistakes, either ignoring the penitential side of Advent altogether, or the mistake of just treating it as a less intense version of Lent, both of these mistakes do the season of Advent a disservice. Now, both seasons do invite us to turn inward, to examine ourselves, our souls, in preparation for encountering Christ. I mean, you don't want to get surprised by Jesus, right? He's coming. Look busy, right? It's okay to laugh at that. In Advent, though, we tend to focus our preparation more on expectation, anticipation, than on penance and repentance, which is more typically the focus of Lent. Living into the season of Advent should bring us to a state of awe and wonder as we consider, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, the marvelous thing that God is about to do for us, among us, within us. And yet, there is a kind of penitence to a proper observance of Advent. But the penitent aspect of Advent is not so much about sincere contrition for our individual sins. That's what we've got Lent for. In Advent, it's more about a turning away. To repent means to turn away. So in Advent, it's more about turning away from the 10,000 things that draw our attention away from the God child about to be born in our midst. The busyness of the secular holiday season. Y'all don't know a thing about what I'm talking about, right? We all do. The relentless, rapid-fire assault of advertising. The increased demands on our time. The pervasive message that this season is all about rushing, rushing, rushing as fast as we can. Keeping a holy Advent can be a deeply, profoundly, radically countercultural act in this day and age. As the culture around us says, rush, hurry, be quick, run, there's not much time left, the theology of Advent says, wait, be still, take time, make time to prepare for what's coming, for the one who is coming. So how do we do that? Well, the collects for each Sunday of Advent are a really good place to start. This morning, we're urged to cast away the works of darkness in our earthly lives in order that we might be ready to meet Christ when he comes again to judge the living and the dead and to rise into immortality. Think of it as getting ready for a journey. We need to travel light. We need to be able to travel light because we need to be ready to go at a moment's notice. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly, Jesus tells us in Mark's gospel today. In Advent, we make ready for God to break into the world of God's own creation in the person of Jesus. And we followers of Jesus do, and rightly ought to, look forward to this incredible, earth-shaking, world-changing event with eager anticipation, with barely contained joy. This first Sunday in Advent reminds us, however, that in our eagerness for God to break into this world, and in the language of the Old Testament, to come and tent with us, we should not overlook the fact that God's coming into this world is earth-shaking. It is world-changing. In the Sundays to come, we'll explore what it means for God to enter this world as a helpless newborn baby, completely dependent upon others for the care and nurture he needs to survive. Today, we hear the cosmic scope and scale of the incarnation of Jesus Christ foreshadowed in the words of Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fires kindled brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known among your adversaries so that nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. People, get ready.